Good morning. Beautiful morning to worship our Lord together here in person and also online. So, what is the sin that you commit the most? Is it one that is out in the open? That is, it can be seen by others? Or is it done in secret, behind closed doors, so to speak? But is anything really done in secret, given there is someone who is always aware of what is going on? So today we're going to each take a turn in stating what that sin is for us, okay? Well, we're not going to quite do it that way, but we do want to think about those sins and all sins that we commit, and then also seriously contemplate as we worship what God has to say about each of those sins. Let us now turn to the invocation on page 3 of our worship bulletin. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name.
Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
We worship this day in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Please turn to page 11 for our opening hymn, All Praise to God Who Reigns Above.
Thank you.
Please stand. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise His holy name. Dear friends, let us approach God with a true heart and confess our sins, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us. Lord of life, I confess that I am by nature dead in sin, for faithless worry and selfish pride, for sins of habit and sins of choice, for the evil I have done and the good I have failed to do. You should cast me away from your presence forever. O Lord, I am sorry for my sins. Forgive me for Jesus' sake. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. In His great mercy, God made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in our sins. Hear the word of Christ through His called servant. All your sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise His holy name.
As far as the east is from the west, so far as the moon of our
In peace, let us pray to the Lord for the well-being of all people everywhere, that they may receive from you all they need to sustain body and life. Hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the spread of your life-giving gospel throughout the world, that all who are lost in sin may be brought to faith in you. Hear our prayer, O Christ.
Christ, have mercy.
For patience and perseverance in this life, that we may not lose the hope of heaven as we await your return. Hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord of life, live in us that we may live for you.
Amen.
Please be seated. We're at the third Sunday of end time in our church here, and the emphasis on this third Sunday of end time is Saints Triumphant. A reading from Holy Scripture from the prophet Isaiah, reminding us that what we bring to God, it is not enough. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the instruction of our God, you people of Gomorrah. The multitude of your sacrifices, what are they to me, says the Lord? I have more than enough of burnt offerings, of rams and the fat of fatted animals. I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. When you come to appear before me, who has asked this of you, this trampling of my courts? Stop bringing meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. New moons, Sabbaths, and convocations, I cannot bear your worthless assemblies. Your new moon feasts and your appointed festivals I hate with all my being. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I hide my eyes from you. Even when you offer many prayers, I am not listening. Your hands are full of blood. Wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. Come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We have not been called by God to conform, but to be transformed. A reading from Holy Scripture of Romans 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We turn to page 12 for our hymn response, His Mercy is More. Please stand for the gospel reading. A reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 25th chapter, where Jesus reminds us now is not the time to rest or to make poor decisions. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the word of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Please be seated as we now turn to our hymn of the day on page 13. My worth is not in what I own. Grace, mercy, and peace remain ours in great abundance, thanks to God our Father and our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we continue our focus on the Scriptures, turning back at this time to the prophet Isaiah's words, "Stop bringing meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. New moons, Sabbaths, and convocations, I cannot bear your worthless assemblies. Come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So, you think you're all that. Well, God says, no, you're not. So you don't think much of yourself. Well, God says you are valuable. And not because of who you are or what you have done. Saints Triumphant Sunday reminds us of our natural status before God in this world. And then also reminds us of what it is that he has done to change that status while in this world and even after we leave this world. And the end of this world is coming, for some sooner than others, but as a collective whole, the end of the world will come, and we'll all know, as we said previously, we'll know it when it's here. But every time there's a shooting, a death, a disaster, well, we're reminded of that truth that this life is temporary. And even though that is the case, that we cannot escape, thankfully we are not without hope and without a positive future. The overall focus for today then is not again about what we bring to the table, but rather what God already has brought to the table and continues to keep before us. And then it also focuses on what our response is to be to the fact that God is the one who has fixed the table and keeps it prepared. The prophet Isaiah, by inspiration, then reminds us that it is still all about what God does. And one of the things that God does that we still need to keep our focus on is a call to repentance. Now, the prophet Isaiah was called to call to repentance the people of Judah, the southern kingdom. They were ignoring God's call to repentance to the northern kingdom, which should have been an example to them. And so the northern kingdom, well, God had them removed from their land. And it was a reminder then to the southern kingdom that just because you're the southern kingdom and the chosen people does not mean you're guaranteed to be in this land for all eternity without any consequences for your actions against God. And so through the prophet Isaiah, the Lord says, O Israel, Judah, hear this. Open up your ears, listen. And God does not hold back. So much so, how does he address Judah? O you Sodom and Gomorrah. That was not a compliment. That's how Judah was living their life, like the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. And how did those people live their lives? It was full of pride. It was full of lust. It was also full of lacking mercy. I mean, we are familiar with what they wanted to do with the visitors in their city. And that's how it became in the southern kingdom, amongst God's chosen people. And so he rightly, to get their attention, calls out to them and says, Oh, you Sodom and Gomorrah, hear this. Because Judah was slipping away, and they were about to be cut off. But God is a God of mercy, and he wanted to keep true to his promise. And so he reaches out to his people through the prophets, including Isaiah, and says, Repent. Not only were the people of Judah full of pride and lust and lacking mercy, their worship life, the Lord says, was heartless. Oh, you worship every week, and you bring tons of sacrifices and offerings, but your heart is not in it. And so I'm tired of you just coming and going through the motions. This was the opposite of what Prophet Malachi had to say to the people of Israel. Malachi talking to the people after the Babylonian captivity, and they had come back and they fallen, unfortunately, into the same traps, only different. The people at Malachi's time were not coming regularly, and they weren't offering the best of their offerings like the people in Judah now were. But what was similar was the heart was not in it. And the people of Malachi, they show that their heart was not in it because they would offer the three-legged and blemished animals as sacrifices to God, expect God to be satisfied with that. But here, in Isaiah's time, while the people were coming regularly, they were saying, God, I'm here regularly. What more do you want from me? I want your heart. I just don't want your butt in the pew. I want your heart there too. And so what they were doing for the Lord, it didn't cut it. Because it's not what we do. It's what God has done and continues to do for us. And so a wake-up call was necessary. Is that wake-up call still necessary today? Does the Lord still need to have a call of repentance to the people of today? Well, he says the same thing. As he said to them, he says to us, listen, open up your ears. I am not going to hold back. And he's not just calling out the people in the world for all the atrocities and so forth that are taking place out and about in the world. He's also addressing us. But sometimes, you know, we as Christians, you know, we know God is not just going to sit back and take it. So you go get them, God. You go get that world and you show them who's boss. But as we say that to God, where else do we need to be looking? In the mirror at our own heart. Because not only are the people in this world breaking God's commandments left and right, how many commandments did we ourselves this last week just break? In our thoughts and in our words and our actions. Oh, I'll go to church. It'll be okay. Your butt can be in the pew, but if your heart is not in it and it's not repentant, the person sitting next to you better be careful. That lightning bolt might strike. God is serious about his law and his call to repentance because he does not want anybody to be lost for all eternity. He doesn't take pleasure in the death of the wicked. And so he calls all people to repentance. Believers too, right? Day in and day out, we need that repentance. The reminder of who we are by nature before God. And in and of ourselves, we bring nothing to God that deserves his attention toward us. But it's all thankful what God has brought to us, that he is able to have us in his presence. And the Lord points out it's not only our attitudes in worship and our attitude towards the other person. Yeah, you go get them. It's also how we carry ourselves day in and day out when we're amongst other people. What's our attitude toward other people? Do we have a tendency to look down on other people because they don't act like us or look like us or are not in our social status? Or do we also look down on people and their ideas because only my ideas matter? And sometimes I don't hide the fact that I don't like your ideas because I'm going to make a face or I'm just going to say right out to you, well, that's a dumb idea. Because I'm the smartest person in the room. And everybody else should know that. also is in that room with you? So are you truly the smartest person in the room? Are you really smarter than Jesus who is in that room with you? Is that what you're saying? And only you have good ideas? But don't we kind of walk around thinking more of ourselves than we ought? And what did Paul, by inspiration, say? Don't think more of yourself than you ought. But be careful to fall into the other trap of the false humility, of feeling all worthless. Because again, it's not our feelings and it's not what we bring to the table. It's what God already has done and continues to do for us that keeps us humble and also raises us up. So we don't fall into either ditch of worthlessness or arrogance, but walk that middle road with our God. It's still about what God does for us. And so we want to appreciate his call to repentance for all the times our worship and our life is not living in accordance with his will for us. And thankfully, we have his forgiveness because he has made our salvation the priority. The proof? Well, at the end of the words that we read today from Isaiah, the proof is right there. All of our sins, all of the guilt that comes with it is stained with blood. And there's only one way to get rid of that stain. It's about the cross. Not our cross, but about the cross of Christ and what he has accomplished for us through that cross. He has shed his blood so that our guilt and blood could be washed clean. Nothing else could do that. And so part of that call to repentance then is not only acknowledging our sinfulness, but also then acknowledging what God has done about that sinfulness and that guilt. He shed his son to shed his blood so that we could be clean in his sight. Now, how is that verdict of what Jesus has done for us, that not guilty verdict applied to us? Because that not guilty verdict, what Jesus has accomplished on the cross, really is applicable to all people. That's what we call objective justification. It's a fact, whether people believe it or not, Jesus died on the cross, forgiveness has been won. Now, how does that verdict, that objective justification, become our very own? That's what we call subjective justification. There's a quiz on this later. It's not that we bring ourselves to that declaration, but again, the Holy Spirit is the one who connects us to that verdict. We now are the subject of that declaration. And the Holy Spirit uses his tool to make that connection. His tool is the means of grace. How valuable a tool is that? The gospel in word and sacrament. In fact, that tool is so valuable, we as a church recognize it. That's one of our core values for our worship. And also as our existence as a congregation. If we don't have the means of grace, we better have great coffee because that's all we're going to be known for. We're just a social club then. It's the means of grace that distinguishes us from just the social clubs. It's that means of grace that connects us to that verdict of not guilty. It's the means of grace that keeps us connected to that verdict. Amen, brother, right? It's this action then on God's part that leads us to action as a response. The motivation is clear. The Apostle Paul talked about it. In view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. God just doesn't want just going through the motions. He wants it alive in this heart, and it shows itself by our praise to him formally and informally. Everything we do is to be an act of worship to God. Whether somebody sees us doing it or not, God sees it. Whether it's done in a home, in the community, in the church, whether it's here, worship formally, or worship in the home through as you do your devotions, it's all an act of worship to God in a proper response. Because God wants the heart, and the way to keep the heart is staying connected to the means of grace. And so when we disconnect ourselves from the means of grace, we're disconnecting ourselves from that which keeps our heart alive. And that's why Jesus has said in the scriptures, for those who think they're alive, I never knew you. You may have said my name, but your heart was not in it. And how do we get an idea of who those people are? We have to be careful because we can't read the heart like God said, but he did give us some indicators. In Romans 10, for example, it's with your heart that you believe, but it's with your mouth that you confess what's in your heart. And in James, faith without works is dead. And so what are those works that God requires to show that there is living faith in us? He says in verse 17, for example, seek justice. Do what is right. Be concerned about what is right. Encourage one another, especially the oppressed and the weighed down among us. Encourage them with a reminder of God's promises that he is with us always, that he will not give us more than we can stand up underneath. And when we think we're the ones who are holding up the weight, remind them that no, it is God who is holding up that weight. And sometimes God will add more weight because he knows that's what we need at that time. It also reminds us to defend the helpless. Instead of getting our camera out to film someone getting beat up, maybe we can't personally get involved, but can we call for help? Instead of being concerned about who can make the greatest video and be known for that. And there's so many other ways, right, that we can defend the helpless and encourage the downtrodden. For example, through food pantries and clothing donations. Again, there are so many ways that we are able to help and encourage one another without a big fanfare, individually and collectively. We also are encouraged to plead for one another, to intercede for one another, to pray continually for those we know and don't know, for situations we're aware of and not aware of, for our own well-being, that God would continue to bring his peace and his justice to this world, to the people of this world. For what's going on in the Middle East, that we pray to the Lord about that. What's going on in our own country for Thanksgiving? How many people are more focused now on holiday shopping than on reasons to give thanks to God? And what comes after Thanksgiving? Not the holiday sales, but Christmas. And what Christmas is connected to? The cross. And what's the cross connected to? The empty tomb. And what's the empty tomb connected to? The gift of eternal life. Bottom line, what we do, especially apart from Jesus in us, does not merit us anything. What we are led to do in light of who we are and what Jesus has done for us, that is everything. And so as people wash clean of our blood through the blood of Jesus, keep in mind it is still about God and what he has done and continues to do for us inside and outside of this place. That's being part of the saints triumphant. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We join together for a confession of faith. It's found in the middle of page 7.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated.
We continue with the prayer of the church. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we praise you for reconciling us to yourself through the sufferings and death of your dear Son. Through him, we have confidence to enter into your presence and to bring you our prayers and petitions. Out of the infinite bounty of your goodness, grant us a rich measure of your Spirit.
Let the love of Christ.
Bestow on the nations of the earth
the knowledge of your mercy, that they may turn to you, the only God, and find salvation in you.
Strengthen our faith so that we unfailingly come to you in prayer for all our bodily needs.
Give a special measure of your power to those who are sorrowful or mourning, to those who are in pain or sickness, to those who may be in temptation or peril, that they may receive your blessed aid.
Help us patiently endure any chastening and afflictions you permit to come into our lives, knowing that you are using them in love to prepare us for that joyful communion with you, which is ours for all eternity.
O Lord of heaven and earth and sea, to you all praise and glory be. How can we thank you properly who gives us all? Dear Lord, from you we all derive our life, our gifts, our power to give. Oh, may we ever with you live, who gives us all. Continue to watch over the coming and going of those able to celebrate another year of grace here on earth. And for those celebrating a wedding anniversary, renew the couple's love for each other as they reflect on the love you have for them. Hear us now, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. Accept our prayers and intercessions, and provide for all our needs, not because we are worthy, but for the sake of Jesus our Savior.
Amen.
As we turn now to the sacrament, lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give
thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
Blessed are you, O Lord of heaven and earth. We praise and thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, and we remember the great acts of love through which he has ransomed us from sin, death, and the devil's power.
By his incarnation, he became one with us. By his perfect life, he fulfilled your holy will. By his innocent death, he overcame the law. By his rising from the grave, he overcame
death. Invited by your grace
and instructed by your word, we approach your table with repentant and joyful hearts. Strengthen us through Christ's body and blood, and preserve us in the true faith until we feast with him and all his ransomed people in glory everlasting.
Amen.
And we also pray,
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he gave it thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
We pray. Blessed Lord, you have given us your holy scriptures for our learning. May we so hear them, read, learn, and take them to heart, that being strengthened and comforted by your holy word, we may hold firmly to the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
To thank you for filling out those connection cards faithfully each week. And it's important not just for you, but also as we have guests among us and you're talking to those guests, just to remind them to fill out those connection cards too. Appreciate that. Bible study taking place here in the church proper, looking at God's hand throughout history. And just a reminder that this coming Wednesday, we have our Thanksgiving worship service at 6:30. And if you cannot make it Wednesday night, Hope has theirs on Thanksgiving Day at 10 o'clock. Also coming up on December 10th, the new member brunch, all member brunch. Everyone's welcome to attend and encouraged to attend. There is a sign-up sheet, as we mentioned last week. That sign-up sheet there is in the lobby on the counter underneath the television there in the lobby. So please take some time to look at that. If you're not able to bring any food, that's fine. But if you want to bring a dish to pass, there's a suggestion there of you can list what you want to bring. And if you don't fill out the sheet, you can just email Stacy in the office and let her know, hey, we're coming and we're going to bring a dozen donuts or whatever it might be, right? Or your world famous egg dish, whatever it might be. Keep that in mind. Tyler Wall, our athletic director and grades 5 and 6 teacher, had that call to consider teaching in the state of Florida. Thankfully, the Lord has led him to stay here in California. So we give thanks for that. May the Lord continue to bless his work among us. And then for some other good news coming up, our outreach coordinator, Jim Oswald.
Wow. Speak, O Lord. I love to be in God's house with my church family, worshiping my Savior. Board of Outreach would like to encourage everyone to come to our walk-through live nativity Saturday, December 9th from 5 to 7 p.m. and to invite a guest from your friends, relatives, acquaintances, and neighbors, or Fran, as like we've been encouraging you to invite people. There are printed invitations in the Welcome Center and back by the TV, as well as many other things that can help you invite people or show them what our church teaches, right? There's many things that we have at the Welcome Center, invitation to the live nativity. If you have not come to this event before, it is not just a manger scene. It is the whole Luke 2 story from the angel Gabriel telling Mary that she was going to give birth to our Savior. And so, that being said, there are many Marys and Josephs at the Nativity, from scene 1, scene 2, as we go through. And there is still some need for people. This is a great place for families to join an outreach, because children are animals sometimes, dressed as animals. We need those Marys and Josephs. And if you're a little older, maybe a wise man or a shepherd. If you'd like to help, please contact Mark or Michelle LeMay. They are organizing that event. This week, as we sit down with our friends and family at Thanksgiving to thank our Savior for all he has done, please talk with your family and friends and decide what time you're coming on the 9th and who you can invite. Advent is coming, and as we are looking forward to Jesus coming, first at Christmas, then at the cross and empty tomb, and finally to take us home. And I'm looking forward to seeing you all on December 9th. Thanks.
God, it's perfectly nice to hear about Thanksgiving and the blessed tradition.